My friends, I have found the scripture that is purgatory's worst nightmare. Please don't tell any of your Protestant friends. This one, I want to tell you how it came about, some of the things that the Blessed Mother has to say sort of in relation to this scripture verse, and what St. Thomas Aquinas has to say about this scripture verse, as well as some of my own thoughts to kind of help unpack this purgatory-crushing scripture. Let's get right into it. So how did this come about? So the other day, I was having a discussion with Vinnie Flynn on this book for Divine Mercy. I had this interview, and in the middle of the interview, I said sort of colloquially this right here. So listen to what I have to say. It is so powerful, not even God's justice can stand up to it. And next, after that, I had this kind of comment back and forth with a few people, especially this one gentleman right here. Thank you very much for responding. And he was confused as to what I say, because sometimes the way that I say things, it's for a YouTube video. It's not a theological treatise. I'm not writing a dissertation where I'm trying to speak absolutely accurately. I'm speaking in a way that people can understand. However, I showed him then this verse. Let's hear it right now. I'll read the verse before and then the one following it. James 2:12, so speak and so act as people who will be judged by the law of freedom, for the judgment is merciless to one who has not shown mercy. Mercy triumphs over judgment. That is the purgatory crushing scripture. Now you're kind of asking, how is this a purgatory crushing scripture? First of all, so these people that were commenting didn't seem to understand this reality that there is this relationship between God's justice and God's mercy. God's justice is, strictly speaking, what is owed to us or what we deserve. Now God's mercy, in light of the treasury of grace, is obtained by Jesus, by the Blessed Mother, and by all the saints. Think of the treasury of grace as like all of this sort of spiritual cash by which we can cash in to pay off debt. In light of all of these things, as well as the attribute that God in himself is merciful, we can at times bypass God's justice. Now, when you say this out loud, people are like, what? How is that absolutely possible? Consider the following. Anytime that you pray for the souls in purgatory, anytime that you decrease the sentence that they're there, you're bending God's justice. You're triumph overing it. You're defeating it, to use kind of my own sorts of words that I was using it, because God's justice, strictly speaking, is whatever the soul is assigned to at the moment of his death. Let's say God in some particular case says, okay, you shall be in purgatory for 20 years because of these sins. That is strict justice. Now, if we wanted to follow God's strict justice, we wouldn't do anything. Fine, stay there for 20 years. I'm not shortening it at all. However, it is permitted to us, because we exist in time when things can still change, for us to pray for people, shorten their sentence of justice, and thereby grant them mercy. That is the clearest example of mercy. And mercy always can supersede justice. Now, I want to first have you hear what the Blessed Virgin Mary thinks about purgatory. When I first read this, I was confused. Hear what she has to say. This is in the book Visions of Purgatory, and it's talking about this apparition that happened in Germany. The Most Holy Virgin lavishes consolations and encouragement to the souls. I believe that she does not love purgatory very much, and that if she could, she would empty it with one blow. So if you ever heard all these things that I've talked about purgatory, yes, we love the souls in purgatory. No, we should not love that purgatory has to exist, because who loves suffering? Well, some people do, but we shouldn't in this sense, and neither does the Blessed Mother. It was startling for me to hear that, because I guess I imagined her as looking at the souls in purgatory and saying, huh, you deserve it. But that's not how she is. She's not like me, praise God. She's like how she is, and she wishes purgatory did not exist. Therefore, she asks us to help her with our prayers in favor of the blessed souls of purgatory. Did you just hear that? We can help the Blessed Mother. Not only can she help us, we can help her. She is We speak of her as sort of like reigning over God's a kingdom of mercy, that she is kind of the distributor of God's mercy because Jesus loves her and has given her that task. Well, we can work under her in this company, so to speak, this kind of company called mercy, and we could distribute out God's immense mercy. He has a massive mound of golden mercy for us to distribute. If we only knew this, that we could always, we can bend God's justice because of everything that Jesus did, but very few people know this. Now, the Diary of Divine Mercy has many different ways of saying this. I'm kind of stepping outside of the microphone each and every time. I want you to hear what it says because it speaks it the most clearly and we need to hear this. Now, this is in the Diary of Divine Mercy, paragraph 20. And it's actually in a vision of purgatory. They answered me in one voice, the souls in purgatory, that their greatest torment was longing for God. I saw Our Lady visiting the souls in purgatory. The souls call her the Star of the Sea. She brings them refreshment. I wanted to talk with them some more, but my guardian angel beckoned me to leave. We went out of that prison of suffering. I heard an interior voice which said, "My mercy does not want this, but justice demands it. Since that time, I'm in closer communion with the suffering souls." So there's this weird reality of this kind of, there's this tension between mercy and justice. Now, since justice has to be held in eternity outside of time, because things don't change there. So things have to be decided. It's set. You will be in purgatory for this amount of time. It's kind of, there's this sort of staticness, so to speak. But since we exist in this weird reality of time, when we can still choose, when we can still decide, when we can still make up for things, when we can go or go against God, this is how mercy can be given to us. So we're in this place where we can give mercy to other people. The angels were not able to be given mercy. Why? Why were the angels not able to be given mercy? Because they exist outside of time, like I've been saying, and they know everything all at once. So once they see and make a decision, they never are able to change their minds because they've seen all the facts. We can't even conceive of what that's like because we live in time. And so we think that you can always change your mind. But once the time stops, you are set exactly where you stop. So the angels, once they chose, that was it for all eternity. Therefore, based on their decision, they were given a decree of justice. For instance, if they chose for God, heaven; if they chose against God, hell, for all eternity. Where since we are in time, mercy or a chance to change our minds or to repair can be granted to us. Listen to what else the Diary of Divine Mercy says. This is paragraph 198. On one occasion, the Lord said to me, "My daughter, your confidence and love restrain my justice, and I cannot inflict punishment because you hinder me from doing so. Oh, how great is the power of a soul filled with confidence." He says things to Saint Faustina that are really, really strange, that because we're wielding a divine, I'm going to speak colloquially, since she's wielding the divine weapon of mercy, she can conquer his justice to where God, Jesus will tell her, "You render my justice powerless." How can God's justice is divine? How can we render it powerless unless we use another divine instrument, which is his mercy? And we have access to it through the divine mercy prayers and all of the devotion, the Finch devotion. If you don't know what that is, feast, image, novena, chaplet, the hour, Finch. You can use all of those mercy weapons to conquer God's justice, but any plea to his justice is something that we can do. And we can do this at any given moment that we are praying for the souls in purgatory. They are always within God's justice, cannot change it at all, but we can appeal and break it and wield this divine power to shorten their time dramatically, possibly crushing it totally and complete to where they're delivered from purgatory immediately. Who wouldn't want that? Now listen to what St. Thomas Aquinas has to say. Now, in people saying, well, you know, kind of what comes first, God's justice or God's mercy, and how could God's mercy, you know, God's justice always has to be fulfilled, and how are we going to do that? They're not in opposition to each other. God's mercy fulfills God's justice and then goes beyond it. He says very similar words to these. Why? So Jesus and Mary and the saints did so much good. They fulfilled justice so much that they fulfilled it not only for themselves, but for all of us, probably up to it almost infinity. They put so much in the treasury of grace that we can take from that treasury through our prayers, indulgences, things like this, asking for God's mercy, and we can fulfill whatever was the just thing that God was asking and then go even beyond it. This is exactly what we do with the souls in purgatory, but hear what he has to say. Thus, justice must exist in all God's work. Now, the work of divine justice always presupposes the work of mercy and is founded thereupon. For nothing is due to creatures, except for some pre-existing in them or foreknown. Again, if this is due to a creature, it must be due on account of something that precedes. And since we cannot go on to infinity, we must come to something that depends only on the goodness of the divine will, which is the ultimate end. We may say, for instance, that to possess hands is due to man on account of his rational soul, and his rational soul due to him, that he may be a man, and his being a man is on account of the divine goodness. So basically he's saying, look, the fact that we even exist is because of God's mercy. We didn't deserve to exist. In justice, God didn't need to create us. So he created us out of what? Out of his justice? No. He created us out of his pure goodness and mercy. He created us. And so mercy precedes, and then God builds the world of mercy. He builds upon the world of mercy, this sort of world of justice. And then Jesus comes and gives us even more mercy. So we're like in this mercy sandwich where it's like mercy before, mercy in our world, but then we can fix this world of justice through this unbelievable mercy that Jesus gained for us on the cross and all the saints and everything that they suffered. So in this way, all these things in that scripture are purgatory's worst nightmare, because we can crush purgatory with God's mercy. And you wield power in your prayers. Every single time you pray for them, you are crushing God's justice. And if you want to receive a lot of mercy, what does Jesus say? Blessed are the merciful. What will they receive? Mercy. Where? In purgatory. Exactly there in purgatory, you can receive immense amounts of God's mercy. How? So on some basic level, we at least out of justice, at the very minimum, should pray for our parents and ancestors who are in purgatory. That's kind of the least requirement of justice. Anyone else that you pray for, it's a complete act of mercy. They didn't deserve it, especially if you pray for random people. Imagine the mercy that you get. What do you think will happen if you pray for random people in purgatory? What will happen to you when you die and are in purgatory? Think about it for 3 seconds. 1, 2, 3. Yeah, you guessed it. Random people will pray for you. Did you see how mercy works? Then go and be merciful. Crush justice. Crush purgatory. Let's get rid of it. Let's empty it completely using the full power of God's mercy. My friends, if this video has helped in any way, please subscribe and like and support this channel through Buy Me a Coffee. I'll see you in the next one.